Welcome back to Bibliosynensis.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining.
All right. Tonight, we have two guests and a whole feast that we're going to be taking a part in, which is basically what we call kebayan, which is hand or...
You eat with your hands.
Yeah, literally.
That's literally what it translates to.
Yes. In today's episode, we are actually celebrating... The first episode of season 6, but most importantly, the Filipino American History Month. It crossed over between, Hispanic Heritage Month, so literally I just kept showing off all the Spanish side of Philippines, and today is like the first day at last since the whole heritage month of the Hispanic month, we finally get to show off everything else, because literally there's like how many cultures in the Philippines, and we can't keep up.
No. There's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, like, we're not India, you know? They got a lot of culture all in that one place, but needless to say, I've been going through a lot of Wikipedia and like weird websites that kind of tell you about obscure history of Philippines.
Yeah.
But before we dive into that, we are drinking tea.
Yes, we're drinking tea, spectral tea.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So Ryan, why don't you start the pour? We're actually doing Enchanting Fae, which I thought would go great with this. Mango and rose.
With some
lemongrass and osmanthus in it. So, hope you enjoy it.
Huzzah.
That's really nice.
Thank you. And for those of you wondering, I know it's October, but it's also 75 degrees outside in Los Angeles, so we can't...
No.
We can't win.
No. Southern California, gotta love it.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Oh. Yeah, no, that's really, really good.
That's nice.
Thank you.
And, in that, usually we talk about what we've read.
Yeah, have you read anything recently, Nate?
Okay.
Oh, also, I don't think it got on the podcast, but Nate is actually a local English teacher.
I am. Currently, I am teaching my students Mouse, so that's what I'm doing, which is nice because it's graphic novel, but, you know, they get into it more. For myself, more recently... Weirdly enough, I've been going back to Berserk. I've been buying those giant graphic novels of them slowly. Like, of course, they're super expensive, so I only get one every now and then. That, and then also I've been reading... It's one that I've read before, doing it again, just because I know Silent Hill 2 remake's getting done. I'm rereading Crime and Punishment, Dostoevsky, which...
All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
You ready? You're reading Russian stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You ready for, like, more sadness? It just ends in sadness. There's like no resolution, but sadness.
Look, I mean, I'm also reading Berserk, which
pure
depression over here. And Mouse is about the Holocaust. So.
Cheers, everybody!
Cheers. There we go. Cheers. All right.
And I guess we are celebrating Filipino Heritage or History Month because that was some dark humor.
Remember, it's Filipino
American.
My apologies. Aha, see. The American side, we don't actually deny that we're sad.
Yeah.
Filipinos will tell you, oh, what the heck is depression? That doesn't exist.
No.
Like, what? Oh,
man.
Yeah.
No. In terms of Filipino writers, though, I love Babong Pinoy.
Mm-hmm.
Babong is great.
All
right. Yeah. All right. He's just funny. I mean, his name would imply that, but...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
No, I was just, if anything, I've just been, like, running through, like, martial arts books, and obviously Danny DeSanto, and, like, anything with dirty boxing. Yeah. It's been fun. I mean, I even put, like, a little post for, like, you know, to enjoy Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, I was kind of sad that he didn't become president, but you know what? He was going against Marcos, so...
You know, so... Another robbery part two.
Hey!
So what about you, Ryan? Have you read anything recently?
I read a lot of Wikipedia.
Oh.
All right.
Okay, bless you.
Are you donating?
Do you need the Heimlich maneuver? No, it's
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's like it's all over their website right now. Like, please donate. You know, become part of our 2% supporters.
That always gets you because I always am like, I use Wikipedia
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, so you're like, well.
Should I donate?
No, I love when they email you and you're like, you donated 8 years ago. would you donate again? I'm like, wow. Okay.
It's like a desperate friend that has an MLM. They're trying to get you to.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. Those databases are deep.
Yes.
I guess it's funny, but I recently joined the craze out of curiosity. I read A Court of Thorns and Roses, and I actually finished it last night.
You pervert.
I am feeling mixed feelings about it. I love the shake. Yeah. I don't know. I feel weird about it. It was nice to read a fantasy novel, and on that retrospect, it was fine, but I'm just not into spicy stuff, which is kind of weird.
Okay.
I'm not the stereotype, I guess.
I mean, that's cool. I mean, it's erotic. I mean, it's not even
It wasn't that even bad. That crazy. I was like, oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's becoming, unbearable for people to listen to us go over the reverb here over the live stream because people have been leaving.
Oh.
Have they been going on your side instead?
No. I mean, it's equal. Do you want to just leave that one and I can repost
maybe it's just
this
technical
one?
Difficulties.
No, I'm pretty sure it is technical difficulties,
so
but
let's
we gotta
just leave.
No, I mean, I think maybe maybe their app is freezing. Maybe Instagram's like, do you want to update your app? And they're like, no, and then it's crashing on their part, you know.
Or turn off the sound on that.
I have tried.
It was, let's, it's fine, I can repost this one.
Oh, for sure.
We are learning.
We has learned.
Usually when you do live streams with another person, they're not in the same room, so.
Right.
Yeah. No difference? I hope there's a difference. Okay. Yet. Enough with you.
That's okay.
We are done.
While we're Pish here, push. Let's talk about what we're eating. Mm-hmm. I mean, because this is quite the spread, as we wanted to. Thank you, Ryan, for making the run.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that was...
Dude, king over here, seriously?
I'm going to lift this over to record. But, so this is kachinta, which is actually an autumn dessert. It's ground rice, I believe. And then it's topped with fresh coconut. And then this monstrosity... It's Toron. I've never seen one this large.
No, that is...
That was your request, Nate.
Okay, well, I'm happy I requested it because Toron is amazing. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to describe what it is?
Just imagine, if anyone knows what lumpia or, I guess...
Egg rolls.
Mm-hmm. Just imagine that's stuffed with banana and sweetness.
Yeah, and jackfruit.
And jackfruit. And then that's what you got. I mean, there's a place I really like in the Philippines called Mang Inasal.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that, but they do it split, so then they add, ice cream on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Stuff's dope.
Speaking of fusion new things, these, Ryan, since you're getting a good laugh out of it, you want to describe what these are?
Oh, there's nothing funny about this. This is puto.
We apologize to our Hispanic audience, but that literally means rice cake to us.
I don't know what else it couldn't possibly mean. So I've been eating.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Oh, shame on me.
I mean,
my gosh.
But these are a special kind. They're ube, which is our infamous, what is it, a sweet potato? A yam.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which gives it the purple.
Technically, it's a root.
Yeah.
There are three different ones, which is the purple yam that everybody always runs to because they're so easy to get at the Chinese market. Mm-hmm. And then there's taro, which is a whole different thing, but everyone mistakes it for ube because, you know, it's purple, but it's light. So you have to get the actual root, which is ube itself, which is crushed and turned into a paste. It has this rich color.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then on top of it is a flan, which I thought was crazy.
No, it is a puto on top of there.
Yeah, the flan on top of the puto.
No, that is a puto right there.
No, yeah, that's
with flat. Mm-hmm. So it's a fusion. And then, Ryan, you brought some goodies.
Oh, yeah. We had a family gathering. We just had some leftover kebab because we just had mountains of kebab that we just could not finish at all. And then I just looked at the refrigerator this morning like, I don't know what to do with this at all.
And then you got the shrimp.
Mm-hmm. I got the shrimp, yeah.
And then I just posted about this. It's bibinca in the corner. That's the one that's actually roasted on a fire with salted duck eggs and such. And it's basically our winter cake.
If you could say? Call it a winter, yes.
Yeah. oh, and everyone, welcome my little Carabao. I thought this was appropriate. That's actually my tea pet. We're not going to pour water on him, unfortunately, because I don't have my Gai Wan set or my Gong Fu set set up.
And we cannot forget about...
Oh, of course.
Oh, right.
So there's two of those, which you can both enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot.
Do you want to explain what that is? I know it looks like an egg, which it is, but what is it specifically?
Okay, no, we call this balut. It's like, when I vacationed in the Philippines, there's a fight gym I like to go to, and every morning I'd wake up, and I'd be like, yeah, Rocky Balboa wishes he had these, but he doesn't, but I do. It's just a literal duck fetus.
Fermented underground, right?
Mm, yeah, a lot of protein. I mean, just I don't recommend eating, like, 10 of these. There's a local story. Someone ate 10. He died of the cholesterol, like, just overnight. But don't do 10. So when you see Rocky Balboa, like, put him in the original Rocky movie, like, cracking, like, 6 eggs and just, like, eating them raw, I don't even recommend doing that with 6 of these. Just, like, keep it to maybe 2 max.
Sounds about right.
I'm going to share these with you, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Dude, I have not had one since I was in the Philippines.
Oh, please.
Listen, to be honest.
Go ham. I will... Mm. Have the lovely little cochinita in the corner. Playing it safe.
Man.
So speaking about the Philippines, I just thought it would be fascinating to have both of you talk because we met you through Ryan.
Yes.
And it's funny because he was telling us that you were in the Philippines and lived there. And I just thought it'd be interesting as someone who wasn't born and raised in the culture. How did you feel about it? What do you think about it? What do you recommend for anyone curious about it?
Sure. So, first off, Filipino people, seriously, some of the nicest people I've ever met. Seriously, you walk down the street, people are telling you, hey, come eat with us on a regular basis. It's totally normal for that to happen. So, like, for me, this is totally just like it is over there. You go to places, you get fed on a regular basis. They're really kind. I love the fact that so much of it is just, you kind of make do with what you got, and it's kind of you. So, like, there's a lot of creativity with the way people operate over there. I mean, whether it's like, oh, we need a bag, and so they have all these straws that they have left over, and they'll make a bag out of straws.
Yeah.
It's like, that's very common. And, yeah, no, once again, if you're looking to go to the Philippines, here's the benefit for you. The only thing that's going to be expensive is a plane ticket.
Yeah.
Once you're there... Everything's cheap. Yeah, I mean, seriously, they were talking about ube earlier. You can get that stuff so cheap. Same thing with, like, mangoes, bananas. Oh, yeah, man. Ruined mangoes for me, by the way, living there.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, you come back here and it's like, oh, man, mangoes are so expensive and they're not as good.
Can I just say that this house actually does have a turf war with mangoes and it drives me absolutely
seriously,
insane.
Seriously, yes.
Wow. Because Eugene was born and raised in the Philippines and my mom's from the Philippines, but whenever I bring mangoes in, they're always like, it's not Filipino mangoes.
It's not the same.
It's not the same, no. And I'll, like, specifically leave it for a week to ripen just right, but it's just not good
it's
enough
just not
for
the
them.
Same. Which, I mean, look, I gotta say, I've really tried to find good mangoes out here, but
yeah,
it's not the same as getting a giant kilo of them for, like, 10 pesos.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, people are literally giving it away at a certain point. Yeah. They're like, it's in season, we need to get rid of it now. Please take some.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I mean, they expire quick. That's
they
the
do.
Problem.
They do. And then there's all the different types of mangoes, too, that you don't even think about, where you have the sour mangoes, the Carabao mangoes, which... Shout out to this little guy here, but mm-hmm. Carabao mangoes
are
huge.
I haven't named him yet. Maybe we should name him today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would you like to give him a Filipino name or something ironic?
I will let Nate do the honors. Actually, both of you can decide. He can be your cow son. Mm-hmm. So while you're thinking about that, let me tell people a little bit about Tea Pets, since we are a tea and book podcast. But Tea Pets are actually used on a traditional Gong Fu style Chinese board. And usually what happens is the first steep of tea is considered cleaning the leaves or making it bloom. So it's not your best tea that you're going to serve to your guests. So you pour it on your tea pets because they're hungry for tea, and it also reminds you to keep the board in motion.
Hmm.
So people collect them. I have a few others in my shed, but I brought my little Karaba out because, you know, because Karabas.
So let me make sure. They're hungry for whatever, right?
Yeah, basically it just reminds you to keep the board wet to get rid of, like, impure... I wouldn't call it impure tea, but not the best steep.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Or cold tea. Let's say there's still a little left, but...
Hmm. I don't know.
Oh, man, that's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is kind of lemony.
Mm.
That's good. Okay. I wonder if this is, like, unintentional ASMR for our listeners.
I don't know. Because
we're just chomping away.
You gotta just, like, blur it out, charge for that.
Yeah, right.
Some sick people out there.
Mm-hmm. Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're like me, where you... We're born here,
mm-hmm.
but you've been to the Philippines.
Yeah.
Tell me about that, because you would travel back and forth for your family.
Travel back and forth. I'm dual citizen now. keep forgetting, I co-own a house there.
Yeah.
I was doing
Inheriting.
Mm-hmm. I forget about it sometimes until, like, they need my signature on something. They're like, right.
Well, it's affordable, you know? It's like buying, like, a car at best.
Yeah.
Oh, you feel like a giant when you go.
Yeah.
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 It's interesting being over there and being called big, no matter if it's sideways or tall. It's not an insult like it is here.
Yeah.
Mm. It's very much not an insult.
A great example I've been told is Filipinos are a lot like the description of hobbits.
Yeah.
Honestly?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, here we are eating.
It's like we've had second breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, this is, I guess dinner part two for me.
Yeah. This is not dinner, this is supper.
Oh, no. There's no rice, so this even is not even a meal.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, true. It's incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
My God, our diet is ruined.
Oh, yeah. Especially I go to visit some distant relatives in the province. It's like the hillbilly side. And I look at the architecture there. And this is, like, built a long, long time ago. There are... some doorways where I will almost hit my head on the top.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Are they like the old, like, Spaniard-style ones?
Probably.
Because there's, like, there's some crazy ones that are, like, also, like, hundreds of years out, old out that way, that are, like, the old Spaniard buildings that were there.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Are we talking about, like a Iloilo? Are we more, like, Cebu, or?
No, this is north.
Yep.
This is, north of Quezon City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably, like, around, like, the slave trade area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I was actually looking that up. I was just in the Manila, Acapulco trade route. I was like, oh my gosh, it's like, there's an actual monument in Philippines still. Mm. And there's another one in Acapulco. And it just, you know, it just says that, oh, this is where the trade route was. And I read about the whole thing, and I found out, like, some Mexicans, a certain type of tribe, you know, I think they're, like, somewhere in the Aztec culture,
mm-hmm.
who actually defected to become Spanish soldiers for benefits. And ironically, because, you know, they're seen as, you know, people that betrayed their own, like, people... people of war would actually be in the same galleon, and literally, they would get to the Philippines, and Mexicans basically spread throughout the top side and the Visayas.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was further north. Because I was, like, in the north-north. Like, there were certain areas I was in where you had people that spoke even more ancient languages than some of the stuff. So, I'd come across Ilocano, of course, which is a dialect, but I'd come across Ifugao, which is, like, super old. And, yeah, when I talked to those people, they just, the entire time when I would speak Tagalog, they'd just be like, and you're just like, right,
without you gaping.
Yeah, you're like, oh, hey, you don't get this. Yeah. No, speaking of which, there's like over 90 languages in the Philippines. Something crazy like that.
90, like, if you consider the dialects as well as languages, it'd be about 300 at that point.
Oh, jeez, yeah, that's right.
It's just too much.
I know. I mainly came across, like, Pangalatok and Ilocano.
Mm,
which, I understand Ilocano. Don't really speak it.
We should break these open.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Is it balut time?
Oh, it's balut. There you go.
Duck fish time.
Yeah. Bam. I am harder. I will say, most people that aren't familiar with it.
I'm just breaking yours.
Yeah.
Remember, you have to have you have to drink the fluid out, right?
There we go.
Alright.
Fun fact about this, wasn't this like a Fear Factor challenge?
I think they did. I mean, once again, I'll be honest, I'm not the biggest, like, even just... What's it called? Yeah, see? You can actually see the veins and all that on the inside.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, that's an actual, like, body of a baby fetus.
Look, can you think of anything more metal than that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that why you're eating it?
Look, it's why I ate it originally. I'm not saying I'm the biggest fan of this stuff, but, like, once again...
So most people...
It was just normalized for me growing up, and I realized when people looked at it, like what? I mean, what? Huh?
I mean, geez, here's the thing that's funny about it to me. People, like, will say things about different cultures when it comes to things like that, but people think America's weird for milk.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest here. And to be honest, that is a weird thing. Let me drink the milk that was meant for a child to grow a cow.
Yes.
Like, just gotta think about that for just a second.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah.
But, you know, you go right ahead and tell somebody...
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, somebody, you know, tell somebody, like, oh, yeah, I've drank a cow's milk when, like, nobody could even afford goat's milk.
Yeah, see, there's all that to consider.
Yeah.
So, I remember when we first started dating, you were waiting for me at the bus stop or something, and you went in to get ice cream.
Uh-huh.
Love. And you couldn't stand the smell of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the lactose issue ever since you
were... That's the thing, is all Americans tend to have a very dairy-smelling thing that we just don't smell.
Yeah.
Because it's so normal. But, you know, you go to other places, and they're like, I smell it. Which, weirdly enough, there's only one place in the Philippines I ever found good milk.
Really?
And it was a place called Mungaldan, because they actually had a dairy farm there.
Ah, you see the veins? Yeah.
Oh, there they are.
Check there you it go. Out.
All right, right. Let's look for that fetus.
It's in there.
It's in there. It's in there. It's in there.
There we go.
Ooh, nice. Oh, that's clean.
Yeah. That's the... all right. I don't want to accidentally rip the head off.
So people liken the flavor of this to like a really rich chicken broth almost.
Okay. I can't find my fetus.
Your fetus was probably overdeveloped, man.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that's a good chance.
Darn it to heck.
Wait.
Oh, you got it?
There it is. You find your fetus. You find your fetus.
I think I found it.
You found the fetus.
Yes, it's right in there. I see the wing.
You gotta see the feather.
You see the feathers.
See the feathers and all that, too.
Yeah.
It's right in there, people.
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
Just waiting for you to say yes. Hello.
But yeah. This was my breakfast on the way to the fight gym. Whenever I go to the
fight gym
when
you're there? Oh, yeah. No, which one's gone?
So what are the benefits of eating balut?
What I needed, I needed my nutrition.
Is it the protein?
To be honest, it's just probably the protein more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Once again, for me, like, as I said, it was one of those things where it was just like a rite of passage that we went over there, we had it. As I said, not the biggest fan of it personally. For the feathers specifically, like, I gotta tell you, when I bite into those feathers, it is not pleasant.
Yeah.
Watch some vinegar.
Oh, and the vinegar, too. No. Yeah, always. You gotta have vinegar with this stuff.
Wow.
And a lot of stuff, too. Like, even when you go to, like, get... Like, he was saying with the barbecue, you'd always dip that stuff into the vinegar as well. You get the juice in there, and that's how you do it.
Nice.
But yeah. Nah. That's the other thing, too, I don't think people realize when it comes to things like the vinegar and even the soy sauce. There are different types of soy sauce, different types of vinegars, and...
Yes.
Yeah. Like, once again, if you're going to a place and you're trying to get Filipino food and they're like, yeah, we got Kikkoman in the back, run away immediately.
I mean,
yeah.
The national dish is adobo.
Yeah.
Has soy sauce and vinegar in
soy
it.
Soy sauce, vinegar, and then you have...
garlic.
Yeah, garlic. Which then people will add different things depending upon where they're at. So, like, there's a guy that I remember from, he was like Samar.
Mm-hmm.
Samar.
That's where you're from, right?
Somewhere? My dad. Yeah.
No. That's your father.
And so his family would always make it with pineapple. Mm. And so it would be like chunks of pineapple that would just soak up the juice, which...
Yes.
Gotta tell you, that's...
So good.
So good. But, yeah. But then you go to other places and they try to do like a dry adobo. That's much more like you cook off most of the liquid into it. Just, some places don't even use soy sauce. It's just vinegar.
Ugh.
It's weird.
That is weird.
Yeah. But, once again, makes sense.
Yeah.
So, do you want to hear a funny story?
Sure.
You're nursing your fetus.
It's okay. You take your time. I know he does.
Because of course, I got with a Filipino man, so to impress him, I tried to make adobo. without asking my mom how she does it, and I'm like, how hard can it be? It's just vinegar, soy sauce, and garlic, right? With chicken. Since we were talking about the importance, I use balsamic vinegar.
Oh, no.
And
no.
Olive oil.
Oh, no.
Of course, soy sauce, but like, you know, like you said, like the lower sodium, because I'm trying to be fancy.
Yeah.
Till this day, Eugene asked me, hey, can you make that Italian adobo?
Oh, man.
I mean, I've learned how to cook it now, thank goodness, but,
I mean, if I want Italian, come on.
Italian adobo.
See, that's actually the other thing, too, is pasta. That took me a while to get used to, because my family, there are a lot of Italians, so the first time I had Filipino spaghetti, I'm like, what is this?
Because it's a dessert.
Yeah,
right?
It's a dessert thing, and I'm like, where are the spices? This is just tomato sauce on this.
It's the ketchup.
Yeah, it's the ketchup.
Yeah.
Banana ketchup specifically.
Oh yeah,
let's
talk about banana ketchup.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, acquired taste, I love it personally, but I know for everybody it's not their thing.
Yeah. So, I love banana ketchup. I could, like, live on that.
I found out there's, like, a history. I don't remember the exact history, but apparently, like, during the occupancy of the U.S., there was too many bananas or something, and they needed to find a way to, like, use them up, so they made what they called banana relish, basically, and it wasn't until they put it in a ketchup bottle with red food coloring that it caught on.
Nice.
And that's why you catch it in, like, American-esque Filipino food, like the spaghetti and the hamburgers and stuff like
that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Hamburgers.
So,
Ryan just usually came through.
Yeah, Ryan, thank you.
You saved the day, man.
Oh, thank you.
He's the Kamayan King.
I agree. Not gonna lie, man. You can have my balut.
Dude, your fetus is looking.
It's looking right at you.
No, your fetus is looking right at you.
It's looking at you with tender eyes.
Right at you.
Look, I want to say hello.
Hello? I was trying to.
Love how your hand's blocking it from the live stream.
I was trying to watch my calories, but.
I mean, this is pure pressure.
Man. I'm being honest. For me personally. When it comes to, like, hard-boiled egg...
Oh, I can see
there's
the
one time
from here.
Oh, you want to say hello?
No.
Little wing of the...
No, just, like, take half of it.
For sure.
You can eat the rest later.
For sure.
So, Ryan's got an iron stomach because he also loves dinuguan.
Oh, you know, it depends for me. Like, if I've had dinuguan that's not very good in the past, but... When it's fresh, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah. So for those listeners, dinuguan is actually blood, right? It's fried blood?
Yeah.
In a stew?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The best one I had was a group of people, they did a full lechon baboy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, full pig.
Yes.
And so, everything was fresh. Everything was really good.
Mm.
So sorry.
So.
Puppy.
For me, I enjoyed it.
Bella,
mm-hmm.
Stop. Okay.
Yeah, man, I swear, like, I was in Ireland, and I I thought I was eating it too, but then like they called it black pudding.
Mm. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Black pudding, that's right. Lord.
Okay. They sort of did differently, but I
Which, hey, all good.
Vinegar.
Oh, there you go.
I think, like, half the culture in the world actually has their own version of, like...
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
Once again, it's how you would get... Especially for people that were in more poor communities, where you'd be able to get more sustenance. You use everything.
Yep. Yeah, because, I was just reading about, like, what halal means.
Mm.
In Islamic cooking, it's not actually to avoid pork; it's to avoid the veins so that the blood won't drip when you cut it. So you can't actually have it. I mean, like obviously they think it's dirty, but you could go right ahead and at least say, "Hey, I'm having it halal."
Mm.
Did you eat half?
All right.
So
I'm still going.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know, there are cultures out there that just see it as taboo, but. Really, it's... Everybody's got their own version.
That's the hard part. This is, like, a good part. Right?
Yeah, the soft part.
Yeah,
the
soft part. Yeah.
Hard with the yolk.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me which half you want.
Hmm. I'll take the hard part.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Cool.
Hard part, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Sweet.
Are you strategizing who gets what on the ballot?
He might be. Or not.
Hmm.
But...
I mean, this is how we, like, you know... how people win battles in the Philippines. We don't really, like, kill people. We just kind of say, oh, yeah, you want this river? Yeah, sure, but can we get something for it?
Yeah, depending on what part you're at, there's all the different things to worry about. So, I mean, there's certain areas I was at where they have everything from crocodiles to cobras to...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the mosquitoes especially. Oh, I got, dude, I got dengue once when I was down there.
Oh, no.
Dude, brutal.
Mm-hmm.
So. Both ends, all that fun stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, okay, I know people are, like, they worry about Australia. They see all the crazy, like, animals they see there. And I'm just like, that's basically that half of the world, guys. Like, that's not just Australia.
No, it's also just around the equator, more than anything else.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, no, all that stuff.
This is a great segue, because I think it's... interesting to talk about because we are a TM book thing.
Is it okay if I have that one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Flying foxes they've recently discovered that are the size of people, basically bats the size of people. But let's talk about all the cool folklore and ghosts that are in
the awesome. The live stream camera right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So my fetus right here. We got the putting the vinegar over it.
You mean Guillermo del Toro's favorite type of horror?
Yes.
Oh my god.
The Aswang.
Our horror is absolutely... It's actually pretty terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, our vampires are these women that have their bodies, you know, like, go cut in two. Where the top part goes right ahead and, like, grows wings and flies off just to eat fetuses.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Like...
It's fresher.
You don't do that? Like... I mean, Ryan, we just had the fetus go.
Oh, yeah.
No, but yeah, there's that stuff. I mean... I'm trying to think about some of the other stuff I remember. Like, there was also, like...
The Capre.
Yeah.
There's the Brownings that are the little gnomes.
Right. Every culture has something like that, too.
Yeah.
Like, the little people that are coming for people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is, in my opinion, pretty fun.
Yeah.
But, like, that specifically, like, is, it's all there. I remember there's that, there was the, what was the other one they would tell me? Even with certain foods, they'd be like, oh, you gotta be careful of this creature that's living in them. Especially with, like, bananas, that was a common one. I don't remember what it was called.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But yeah, there was somebody that had, like, a banana field, and they would, like, be like, oh, you better watch out. They're going to get you. I'm like, is this just so people don't steal your bananas? Or which, you know, to be fair, that's fine.
Yeah.
I get it.
That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of kids, they love to get into, like, you know, your crops.
Yeah.
And they don't think twice. Like, you know, they don't think that bugs will actually get you. They don't think that some of these, like, roots and leaves aren't gonna actually, like, I don't know, cut you and make you bleed, like.
Or the giant spiders.
Yeah, giant spiders.
Dude, I remember there was one time when I was in one of my shoes, and that was, luckily, like, I got into the habit pretty early on of kicking my shoes, so I kicked it, and I just saw a scurry, I'm like, oh, cool, and then, like, you know, about yay big, going across the floor.
Oh, God, yeah.
Good times.
So, I know that there's also the geckos. You usually put the mosquito nets up, not just for the mosquitoes, but so that the geckos don't fall on you.
Yeah, because that can be common, but you also just leave the geckos there. Like, I never try to kick them out. They'd always eat bugs.
Yeah, but they might fall on your face while you're sleeping.
Such it is. If it ate some mosquitoes before it did that, you're my friend. I get it. We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
Right?
You get it. Flying roaches. Flying roaches.
Yes, flying roaches.
Come on, man. Like, they're already nasty as it is.
Oh, man. Yeah, spraying the Permatox around the place before you leave one day. Come back and just see them.
Would you gentlemen love to talk about the good side of the Philippines?
Oh, I thought we were.
We're talking about the fun stuff right now.
Okay.
No, I get it.
Tourist attraction. Go right ahead. Go to Manila. There's this giant park that you can just stroll, ride bikes, literally just do whatever. And the kids are, like, totally free and happy. And you swear, like, you can do crime there. And they won't even arrest you.
Well, what else was there? Oh, go ahead.
We're going to talk about that. I mean, some of the beaches are absolutely amazing.
Oh, yes.
Stop going to the cities, guys. Go to the beach.
Yeah. What is it? There's San Juan, which is known as a really good surfing area. I mean, of course, there's Boracay, which everybody goes to. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, careful, that's a bit of a tourist trap for some of that stuff. But, okay, I'm the only one who hasn't had one of these. I need to eat.
Yeah. Go.
Yeah. But.
Should we cut this?
Yeah. The other one that I was by, that's actually really nice, and there's a lot less people, is called Hundred Islands. Which is up in, like, Alaminos, in that area. So basically, if you're, like, going to, like, northwest before you go to, like, the very tip of it, there's 100 different islands right there. You can go to them. There's still white sand beaches, just like Boracay, but you don't have as many tourists.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I like the lemon in it.
Mm. Mm, yeah, like they said. That's good. It's really good.
Okay.
Now, fun fact, Eugene actually hates ube.
Really?
Too many weddings.
I can see that.
You eat ube at every wedding, but when you have a wedding every 6 months, it is insane. Like, it's done. I'm done. Like, imagine having chocolate every day without any rest. Because, you know, you have to bring it home sometimes because they make so many.
That's true.
I get it. I do think one of the things I find hilarious is there's a lot of places out here that are just random restaurants that are trying to be fancy, and they'll throw ube into it, being like, oh, it's a fancy thing. Charge a bunch of money for it. It's like, dude, it's a root.
Yeah.
What are you... It's like, not...
You could literally grow it yourself if you wanted to.
It's not...
Trader Joe's sells ube ice cream.
Oh, they do?
Mm-hmm.
How is it?
Haven't tried it. Mm. A little scared. I know that Baskin-Robbins does the ube. It's okay.
I mean, personally, I'll go to Seafood City and just...
Yeah.
You know, get like the Magnolia one, whatever it is there.
Yeah. I've got to say, Seafood City has come a long ways from like the past decade.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember when like they would literally give you like the most filtered item ever, and you still had to pay like three times as much for like regular stuff, you know? Like, imagine paying, you know, for pancit. It's just, you know, noodles. Okay, anyone can make this. Literally, just fry your noodles on oil for, like, I don't know how long. And there you are. You got it. And they would charge you, like, $30. Because, obviously, Filipinos never eat in, like, their own a la carte, you know, plates. It's always a group party.
Yeah.
You know? So, all of a sudden, you're paying for, like, 10 people when, literally, you're... kind of like sweating bullets over the price.
Which, it's not bad now. I would say the one benefit to it all being... Oh, no.
No.
I
lost something.
No.
You dropped the food.
Ooh, there's... Yeah.
You have dog vacuum.
There's dog on there. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You are one of us now.
Yes.
That's right, puppies. You are one of
us. If I could show you guys how happy the dogs are just smelling all this food.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm. Pups.
Go. The food's over there. No, that's one for you. There you go.
Just hiss at her.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Right.
Happy pup.
Yes.
But, yeah. In terms of, like, just having a place where I can get certain things, it's nice. Weirdly enough, there's a Ralph's by me that's actually started carrying Datu Puti.
Ooh, wow.
Oh.
For, like, soy sauce and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Even, like, Boy Bawang and stuff, which is, like... I'm like, how? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to complain.
Right.
Yeah. Especially, like, they even have the one that has, like, the calamansi in it, so...
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah. Which I'm like, okay. I don't have to drive all the way to Seafood City to go grab this. Thank you.
Right?
Oh, so, Nate, fantastic. What do you cook at home that's Filipino?
I mean, of course, there's adobo. It's mm-hmm. kind of the classic.
Yeah.
I love sinigang, which is, for those of you who don't know, tamarind kind of stew.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. I'll do barbecue occasionally, so specifically, I'll do... chicken inasal and also do just the classic pork skewers.
Mm-hmm.
Pancit.
Mm-hmm.
Tinola.
So my mom, that's actually native to where she is.
Oh, tinola?
Yeah. We actually grow chili specifically for the leaves.
Oh, okay.
Because you put chili leaves in.
Nice.
But, that's sorry.
Cool. No, that's awesome.
I'll have to invite you.
Please, I would love to have some.
Yeah.
Speaking of spices, of Bicol Express...
Mm-hmm.
Stuff's dope.
Awesome.
Yeah. Kare kare.
Mm. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I haven't had kare kare in a hot minute.
And this one's a really obscure one because I know it's only really done in Dagupan. But, it's called pikar pikar, which is actually, weirdly enough, a Filipino beef stir fry.
Oh.
They only have it there, though. I never got it outside of that one city.
Hmm.
Which is weird. But they only had it there. And I always remember going, oh, this is great. So, there's that. What else? Lots of food. I mean, one of the things I really miss is lechon.
Mm.
Like, but from there, lechon. Like,
yes.
Once again, you can get rotisserie stuff here.
Mm.
It's not lechon.
No.
Mm.
Especially when you get, like, the pork belly one, and it still has a crispy skin on it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Talking about high blood, that is...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Right.
You gotta be careful.
Yeah.
Like, that'll get you. That stuff's really good. Like that. You got some rice. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Seriously. No, there's a... There's a lot of good stuff, but...
So, if you're going to the Philippines or you want to experience Filipino culture, definitely food.
Yeah.
As we have proven here, is the easiest
it's
access.
It's literally our culture. If you don't have food, if you don't eat food, if you don't like cooking the food, you're not being Filipino.
So, my mom was watching a documentary that I thought was fascinating, but you'll notice the trend that pork is such a major part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
But that was actually because they were persecuted for being Catholic.
Right.
And it was their way of kind of sticking it to the man that they could have it. I thought that was interesting.
That sounds like a very Filipino thing
to
do. Just,
but that's actually why it became so popular, is because it's an act of defiance.
Hey, that's really cool.
Yeah. So, there you go.
It's like, no. You're not allowing me to have blood pressure? I'll show you!
Oh, man. No, I still remember, I think, one of the most, speaking of pigs, there's one time I was, one of the apartments I was staying at, we were coming back, our neighbors had a couple of pigs in the yard, and they're like, hey, how's it going? We're like, hey. 5 seconds later, he just pulls out a giant blade, starts draining them blood, just hear it screaming, and I'm like...
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
We joined them later for the food. It was great.
My childhood vacationing there.
Yeah. There you go. You're just like, we're going to show you how to gut a pig today. You ready? Yeah. Like, there's that. I mean, I still remember one of the funniest things as I was came home one night, heard some goats outside. I'm like, they got some goats. Oh, cool. No. And I wake up the next morning, they have a blowtorch just going over to get all the fur off the, off the goat. Gosh. Came back later and had some. It was great, but, like, it's just, once again, because there was always, like, we'd come home and they're like, come on, let's eat. And we're like, sure.
Yeah.
Don't have to tell me twice.
God, yeah, yeah. That's, I get it. Like, I stayed over at summer with my family, and I'm just trying to sleep, okay? It's really hot. I'm not used to it. Like, my uncles were like, you know, they bring the ice around town, which I got to sleep around. That was nice. I mean, dry ice is not the best idea.
No.
But, you know, at least it was better than their, you know, their fans. Anyways, 5 o'clock in the morning, I hear, like, this screeching, squealing for, like, a good hour. And I open the window, and they got the pig strapped up from, like, one leg to another, going in opposite directions, front and back. And I'm just like, poor thing. Like, yeah. Why are they doing this? All of a sudden, take a knife, just jam it in his stomach and open everything up. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that's nice.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
For you, what did you have as a kid?
Oh, dude, I just like just on those events. My cousins and I are watching. It's like they put on a show, like just butchering the pig. Like my so my cousins and I, just growing up and as little toddlers, we had our own song where like we'd rub the back of each other's necks with like, our knife hand and just like and sing and chant like pad thai ba boy pad thai ba boy,
which oh, man
which literally just translates to kill pig
kill pig.
We invented our own nursery song to it, and it was just like something between us where we would just go up to each other's necks and then the back of our necks and just like pad thai ba boy pad thai ba.
You know, it's funny because it's like, yeah, that's just normal. It's what you would do. And I mean, I think a lot of the times, a lot of the taboos we have here are just like, oh, we don't want to see the death, but we'll eat all the meat.
Right.
But once again, how is it any different, really?
Yeah.
And we're on a much higher scale over here than down there.
Yes.
I still remember, though, probably one of the most brutal ones is, I forget what they call it, but it's basically you bruise the chicken to death.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which I've had that, too. Weirdly enough, it makes it really dry. I won't say that much. Like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've had all these tricks.
Yeah. So just beat the chicken.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The machine. Yeah. That one was a huge, like, that was a huge, I guess, like, time breaker for everybody.
Yeah.
Because before, they didn't have the machine to actually pluck off the feathers and such. Literally, go to the neighbor, ask him for chicken, you just take one, tie it up, hit the head, chop it off,
done.
That's done. Yeah. It's like, wow, 5 minutes, it's not even a problem.
No, exactly.
Alright, well, yeah, I gotta head out soon for reasons that segue into Filipino-American History Month reasons. I gotta go to swing dance right now. I swing dance internationally, and so the Filipino-Americans and I, in the community, we have our stories all year round. We're just like, our elders from the 1930s. So, swing dance history in LA with the Filipinos in the 1930s. In toxic masculinity, white America, the men would not, American men do not want to go dancing in the 1930s. They thought it was feminine. So, they're all their girls, so they'll go dance, and there was no one else to dance with except all the Filipino immigrants. And so, the police reports were recorded a lot of fights broke out between American men and Filipinos. And we're thinking, like, we didn't read these police reports, but we know there's only one dance going on at the time. It was swing dance. And so,
so you carry the tradition off.
Yes, we carry the tradition off. So, like, every time I dance with a white chick, it's an act of defiance.
Hell yeah. That is awesome, man.
So, on that note, I'm going to pause the podcast, but also say goodbye on the live stream.
All right.
Okay, we are back. Ryan had to run to his swing dance. But Nate.
Yes.
Hey.
You're here.
I am here.
We should probably wrap up this podcast. We're almost at an hour.
We're gonna cut that, and you're not. It's not gonna be an hour.
It's not gonna be an hour. Yeah, either way, I mean, it's been really fun. But we are all responsible adults that have morning jobs.
Darn the luck.
Curse you.
What have we become?
Curse you, capitalism.
And this is a late night live stream that we did. I mean, we're pigging out at 10 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
Shh, it's okay.
Don't tell anyone. It'll be a little secret.
A little secret. But let's reel it in. I know you both have discussed the Philippines a lot.
Yes.
Which is great. I mean, I noticed quite the bonding.
Yeah.
And me and Ryan are just sitting here like,
Sorry.
No, it's fine. No. But it's interesting because you're really painting a narrative and a picture of daily life.
Right.
But
before, you know, you met me, what did you
Oh, it's my
think,
turn.
Yeah. What did you think Filipino culture was about?
So it was a little different for me because I did grow up in a different time where being mixed, because I am white Filipino, it was not as easily accepted. Mm. And unfortunately, I wasn't accepted on my white side and I wasn't accepted on my Filipino side, so it was a struggle for me. But I can tell you there were a lot of role models in my life that really got me to appreciate Filipino culture. One of them of which was actually the event coordinator for the Natural History Museum.
Hmm.
And she would actually bring me to, Filipino fashion shows.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and that's actually how I learned my culture was through these big events, which is why community events and celebrating this month means so much to me. Because my mom couldn't really explain things. I mean, she was struggling here.
Yeah.
But yeah, going to those events, I mean, I still remember you brought up Magnolia.
Yeah.
The ice cream. They had a truck.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I would get in line during the festivals, and that's when I would learn, like...
More about it.
All about it. Yeah. But, like, growing up half was rough, man. I mean, I actually hate pancit, since we brought up
really?
Foods we hate, because since I was half white, that is all they would feed me.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So, I was not allowed to not eat anything else at the parties, unless it was pancit. So, I mean, I've only started eating it again now as an adult, but...
That's so interesting, because... I mean, even being over there, that wasn't the case. I'm wondering if that's more of a Filipino-American
I think it might be.
It's the generation that got here.
I mean, thank God, like, as we call them, Hafas and, like, mixed race marriages are a thing now, but it wasn't as common
back then.
So, I mean, I still remember going to prom and stuff or dances, and my friends, I guess they, you know, back then we didn't know better, but they're like, "Oh, Steph, the way you're dressed, your white side is showing today." Or, "Oh, you look very Filipino today." I think you remember those when we were friends.
Totally.
But also, like, Hafas or mixed people were also considered, like, fetishized. I mean, I remember when Fast and the Furious came out with, like, the half...
Korean girl,
and it was, like, the biggest thing. Like, everybody needed to date a half...
Somebody.
You know, half white, half
especially
Asian
from
something.
Especially from Asian culture, it's... Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to dampen the mood, but...
Well, hey, once again, that was your experience, though,
yeah.
And that should be... That's still part of the diaspora of all of it, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, thank you guys. I mean, this is actually my first Kamayan.
Really?
What?
Yes!
Okay, we need to, like, rectify that.
Yeah, that's
like,
weird.
I will seriously make a giant thing of adobo.
I literally got so
like
excited. I actually told Ryan, I was like, "Please, if you can bring the banana leaves, do it."
Oh my god.
And he was like, "Why?" I'm like, "Just please." And yeah, this is my first ever.
That's why
Kamayan.
I thought you knew what you were doing, because you were like,
"Oh no, I've researched it for years, and I've actually wanted to host Kamayan on Easter for my family for years, but...
Man.
Oh my gosh.
So thank you guys.
No, of course. Thank you for having me over, and...
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. One more thing to add, I think that might be kind of fun, at least for Filipino-American stuff, is talking about, briefly, Jollibee.
Oh, mm-hmm. Gosh, yeah.
And kind of how amazing that is, because, once again, we have McDonald's over here. And we have McDonald's in the Philippines, too, but Jollibee was there before McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still more successful than McDonald's over there. And it was actually one of the first gateways to getting more Filipino culture here was through Jollibee.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't been to Jollibee, seriously, you're an idiot. And you need to rectify the situation immediately. But, yeah. No, I remember when I was over there, my parents were like, we went to Jollibee, we tried it. It was so great. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. But, yeah, it's... I think that that's one of the cooler things, is just that there's so many things that kind of came this way little by little that have introduced people to it and have helped kind of change, I think, some of the way that it's viewed.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause for the longest time, a lot of that I would hear, at least from Filipinos, like, oh, yeah, my nurse is Filipino, and things like that. Like, that was a very common thing. But really, if I had to say anything, I love that there's more of it coming this way. As much as I said, like, I think it's dumb that people are putting ube and everything, I'm also so glad that more of it's getting accepted,
because
I mean, once again, how adobo chicken is not more popular than it is beyond me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it'll get there though, I'm sure.
So seeing it from my eyes, I think what I've noticed over the years is just with food culture being so popular right now, and it being so ingrained in Filipinos as a cultural thing, I've just seen so many Filipinos rise and create more, like, we were talking Jollibee type, like, fusion food.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the first ever accounts I followed was called the Adobros. and they actually had a test kitchen in New York, and this was, like, taboo, crazy stuff back then. But they would host dinner parties where they would have traditional Filipino food on the table for food critics.
Yeah.
And that actually helped really pave the way to introduce these flavors, even for Korean Americans.
Yeah.
And, like, gochujang is so popular now. I mean, you can go get tteokbokki and Trader Joe's. Like, I mean, but the fact that that food exploration for Asian cultures as a whole is, you know, I feel like the Filipinos really paved the way for that.
Yeah.
So, but it's cool because the discussions are coming out and
Well, the thing is, when I got here to the U.S., like, you can't just be Filipino. You're just literally generalized as Asian.
Yeah.
And you
or not Asian because you're brown, unfortunately.
I'm not gonna get into that. Yeah.
It was a big problem back then.
I mean, there's a reason why when I got there, a lot of Filipinos would tell me, like, oh, yeah, we've talked to a lot of different Americans, and we're like, we feel like we're the Mexico of Asia.
Yeah.
Was how they would definitely describe themselves. And I can see that, but I would argue that, once again, any country that Spain has touched, I'd argue that all the cultures there are way better than Spain's.
Yeah.
Both language and food. And it's... Racism's gonna suck no matter what.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, it's deeply, unfortunately, deeply rooted in most of Filipino history, but...
Thanks, Spain.
Yeah. Thanks, Spain, and a few others.
Oh, but, America, too. I mean, once again.
I know. It's hard not to touch this subject when you're dealing with, like, you know, a group that's, you know, been...
Basically been colonized incessantly. Since the beginning.
Whether it's the Japanese or Spain or America or anyone else.
And the little colonization stories I love the most. When, like, France came, took over a little piece of the Philippines, couldn't stand it, and they left.
Dutch, was it at one point?
The Dutch actually came, but they came through Indonesia.
Right.
But obviously Spain basically pushed that out. The one that I laugh at is Britain. They got there to the Philippines. Lasted for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! They just couldn't do it.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
Yeah.
They couldn't do it.
Nah. I heard stories from people when I was over there just about their experiences with some of that, too. Weirdly enough, the biggest animosity I always heard was toward the Japanese.
We should. Can you?
I mean, once again, they were the Nazis of Asia.
Yeah. Like, literally, the word Manju is the swastika.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But through all that, they're still some of the most wonderful, happy people I've ever met in my life. And I am so much better for having been introduced to that culture.
Mm.
And I can definitely say that. Once again, everything can be complicated, of course, but you got to experience this today, which is, I'm so happy you got to. I'm happy that we were able to talk about this, and once again, thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
So, to close, I guess I'd really encourage people to just kind of dive into Asian American, Filipino, and Asian literature at this
point. I recommend starting and discovering the folklore of the Philippines.
Folklore is a good spot to start. And if you're looking for something a little more deep, Jose Rizal, of course.
Yes.
Oh my god. I was doing research on the guy.
Yeah, no. Is amazing. Yeah. That's the best way to put it. But
he flirted in Russian.
Yes.
He brought French to the Philippines. And he was like the biggest weeb.
Majorly. And he gets blamed for so much that it was like political. And for him, he's like, I just wrote a book, guys. Like, I don't know what's going on. This is crazy. And ended up being a martyr.
Yeah.
But his books, they're pretty deep. They're great. If you're looking for something a little more fun, a little more modern, if it's translated, I'm not sure if it is, but Babong Pinoy. He is really funny.
All right.
Hopefully he's translated. I don't know. But there you go.
There's a book that I did read.
It's not Zaide, is it?
I think it was called Dream Jungle.
Mm.
Yes. Dream Jungle by Jessica Hagedorn was one Filipino book that I liked because it went through like the generations of Filipinos. It actually is fascinating because it opens with like a modern rich Filipino family, and it's a monologue of an urn sitting on the fireplace complaining, having to see his family grow old. And it goes and it backtracks from there. But it shows all the different classes. Like, it talks about the lower class. It goes in even the ugliest things, like the sex trafficking and what have you. But also, the wealthiness, the beauty of it.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend that book. Anything from Hagedorn, I think, in general, she writes about Philippines and Filipino America. So...
Okay.
That's my contribution.
That's cool. For sure.
And what about you?
I just went straight up, you know, Asian American. I just finished reading the biography of Simu Liu, the guy that did, what's it called, that Marvel movie? Oh, my God.
He's Ken. He does the backflip.
Right.
He does the backflip. Look. He's the other Ken.
I know it was Ken. That's all you gotta know.
Yeah. Come on, man. The one that backflips.
The hot Asian one.
But, dude, I have to say, Ozis, his story is basically like every Asian American kid's story. I don't care if he's Canadian. The dude, like, totally jotted down every feeling I've had coming here to the U.S. as a kid. Because he was originally from China. Okay, he was being raised by his grandparents. Comes to America, meets his parents for the first time at, like, the age of what? You know, just a kid. And all of a sudden is introduced to Western culture, and all he wants to do is go to McDonald's, do martial arts, and hang out with friends. Like, dude, we all wanted that. You know, we all had that weird crush that we couldn't actually be with because we weren't cool enough, because Asians weren't cool. And he grew up as an artist, and his parents were engineers. And I'm just like, I don't have to be Chinese to understand this.
I feel that.
Oh my god.
It was reverse for me. The first guy I tried to date was, like, hardcore Filipino, and I wasn't Filipino enough for the family. But I feel you. It's a thing.
It is.
This is why this History Month is so significant. I think it's sharing our stories, because they are different from just the Philippines.
Yeah.
And Nate, you can attest to that. Yeah. I mean,
totally. I mean, once again, I was immersed in a culture I had no idea really much about at all, and came out and I was like, okay. But once again, story of immigration for, I think, a lot of people in Asian cultures, from what I can tell, seems very similar, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because it all is lumped in together when there's a wide breadth of different cultures within that short amount of space there, and so...
Oh, I got a question.
For sure.
Were you mixed in with the Australians just because you were white in the Philippines?
No.
Okay.
Okay, so they would specifically call me Joe.
Okay.
Oh, thing. Like the naval-based.
Yeah, and so basically, because G.I. Joe, they're like, hey, Joe. And that was kind of, that was a normal thing. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, like, I know, like, the Australians always go to the Philippines.
Oh, they do, and especially to the, one of the places I was close to, which is a beach in San Juan.
Yeah.
That spot is really popular, so there would be a lot of people, actually, from both Australia and Germany going there. Yeah.
I know a lot of Hollanders actually moved there during the recession.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's, I still think one of the creepiest things is when I find older white guys there. Yeah, that always just makes me feel uncomfortable and kind of icky.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, my mom and dad actually eloped to the Philippines, and, he spent 2 months there. He speaks fluent Tagalog till this day.
Nice.
Did you feel like it was an easy language to pick up? Because I did mention you speak...
Weirdly enough, yes. I think you have to get used to certain pronunciations, like nung, getting used to the NG sounds and things like that, but it uses a lot of different languages. It's such a really... I find it really cool just because of how much it takes from a different... Like, a lot of different ones. Like, there's, of course, Taglish, which if you... Or wonder what I mean by that is, a lot of verbs you can replace with English words and it works out just fine.
Yeah, that's what I speak because I can understand full Tagalog. I can't speak it for some reason. I think because I've just been around it, but again, being half, no one really talks to you in Tagalog. So, so I can hear it. I understand it.
Yeah.
I use it as a secret asset weapon.
It works pretty well. I mean, the thing is like, it... But you can hear the Spanish stuff in it. You can hear English words, especially American English words coming into it. It's not British English, it's American English. And even, like, just Islander, and then also Asian. Like, it's all in there.
I feel like the flow is very naturally conversational. It is.
And it's verb-based, so you always start with your verb. And so it's really easy once you understand that much, and then you can go from there. The other thing that makes it really easy, there is no, like, you have to worry about, oh, this is the female words or the male words. Mm-hmm. There's none of the genderizations of words. They're, even, like, saying, like, he and she, it's one word, it's sha.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You don't add anything else to it. So, in some ways, I find it easy in that aspect, whereas if you're going to French or anything like that, then you have to worry about,
right.
Even Spanish has that. So, So I find it wasn't that hard. I think people that hear it for the first time might be like, whoa, what? But once you start breaking it down, it's a simple but also really beautiful language.
Yeah, I also feel like it's very forgivable. Like you said, if you replace words, they're used to that. I mean, the whole country pretty much speaks English.
Yeah, for the most part,
I mean, in some shape or form. I'm not saying perfect.
Perfectly. But yeah, I mean, I'm more just saying because there are places I went to where you'd have people that would speak a mixture of Ilocano and Tagalog.
Oh,
not
right.
Purely one or the other, but a mixture of it. So it's, once again, it is just such like, you think, oh, well, it's just all Filipino. No, each area has even its own stuff going on.
Yeah.
Which is, once again, I think getting back to the whole idea of experiences of people that immigrate here, it is such a interesting thing that people have to kind of go through.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when you have that separation of, oh, you're not this enough or this enough to be accepted by either group. It's rough.
Yeah. I know the weirdest thing for me was trying to get used to black culture, because a lot of Asian Americans were like knee deep in that during the 90s. And I could not understand rap for the life of me. It wasn't until my parents moved to Vegas for like 2 years that all my classmates were black. And suddenly I got it. And then when I came back to California with my relatives, suddenly I wasn't Uyghur enough. I'm like, what?
I have something funny to add to that, which Nate, you'd appreciate. So, just a little backstory. Nate, you're also in a band.
Yeah, no, I've been...
Tell us about your dark side really quick.
For sure. So, I mean, I've played in a lot of different musical stuff. Currently, I'm in a horror punk band, but I tend to stick a lot to more alternative, hardcore, metal, punk, yes, that kind of stuff. That I also find really interesting when you look at other cultures that use it, because there are some interesting things people will do with it to jump off of. I mean, it doesn't really matter where, specifically, like, punk, for example, where it started. Truth of the matter, England did it the worst, and then it went to everywhere else, and everybody else did it better.
Did it better?
Yeah. Whether that's America, Japan, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that being said, when you got with me,
yes,
you felt more comfortable to listen to things other than hip-hop and R&B like you were expected to.
Exactly.
And only now, I mean, Eugene loves mosh pits. And
nice.
He appreciates alternative culture now because he can, I guess.
Yeah, the pressure.
It's interesting, that bridge.
The pressure is off. And the thing is, I'm just going to say this because I know people lived through the 90s. The ones that actually did live through the 90s, not just born. Like, there is a difference over, like, what type of, you know, rap and R&B that the black community would listen to, and the type of, you know, rap and R&B that the white community would listen to.
Very much.
And when I had to deal with the Asian community, they had their own way of listening to, like, their weird mixture. They were like,
your music specifically would pin you.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
It totally would. And suddenly, I wasn't able to socialize, and I was pushed to, like, I guess the gangster kind of kids, you know? Like, I get it.
Picture young Eugene in Vegas, right?
Yeah, L.A. Even.
L.A. and Vegas.
L.A. was the worst, to be honest. Because, like, at least in Vegas, people would listen to me.
Mm.
You know? They would ask. You know? They would say, like, weird slurs, and they would be a little racist. They didn't know better. Quote unquote.
Sure, they didn't.
Yeah, right. But they'd listen. They'd listen.
Right.
But I come here and it's all about, like, you know, oh, you don't have to say anymore. We get it. It's like, I don't think you do, but sure, let's put me in a box somewhere.
Yeah.
And suddenly I'm supposed to be a drug dealing, like, you know, like private school kid, and I did not like that. You know?
Again, like the book you mentioned.
Simu Liu's biography. I'm so sorry, I don't actually remember the book title. It's all over Hoopla. But, Ozissa, you don't really get to enjoy, experimenting with your likes and dislikes when you come to the U.S. so easily. Yes, we were dreamers. That's exactly it. Because they just don't want to hear you out. They just want to know, are you with us or are you not?
Mm-hmm.
And I had an opinion, and it was not a popular opinion.
Right.
You know? And if anything, I think Black Lives Matter, like, brought it all back. Because I'm just like, oh my god, people don't have black friends. Oh my god! Like, this is the rhetoric, this is the stuff that you're supposed to be talking about when you're around them. And I it was so normal for me growing up that I didn't think it was so strange.
Right.
You know?
I think there was just a silence about everything growing up.
Yeah.
Too. I don't know.
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, once again, I'm not.
Yeah, it's quite right.
But yeah, it is true. I mean, the thing is like, I grew up in a household that was, at the time, pretty conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Changed over time. And so there were definitely things that I grew up with that I didn't fully comprehend at the moment, and I had to do a lot of deprogramming on my part and listen. Yes. and that's the main thing. I think most people are either too afraid to admit they didn't listen at certain points of time, or at this point they don't want to hear it. They're like, we've heard it enough. We're fine. Mm-hmm. It's okay. We've moved past that. We've had a black president. And they somehow think that it covers all minorities. And it's like, okay. what are you, yeah, what does that mean?
The one token black friend
yeah. or something. Yeah, there's that like, kind of stuff. I mean, it's, and I think it's just, once again, I think more or less what it comes down to is people just listening. Yeah. At the end of the day, yes, we are all, of course, you know, human and that kind of stuff. We all have similar things, but because we don't listen to that side of it and we're so focused on 100% differences constantly, there's that issue. But then there's also the point where you don't want to hear the differences. Yeah. And we just have this constant back and forth of people not respecting each other when really we should.
We should.
And especially because I think the people that are the most actively pushing for white supremacy in this country are hilarious to me, and that they think they somehow are superior.
Yes. The elitism.
The elitism of it. And the thing that's funniest to me is getting, I guess, back into stuff with Black Lives Matter, but the reason that it's okay for, you know, people to be like, black power versus white power is pretty simple. White people have been in charge. They've had the power.
Yeah.
And beyond that, too, white people, you should be able to track back to where your family came from. Like, I don't, of course, like, I am white, but at the same time, I'm more interested in my failures from Ireland, from mm-hmm. Germany. I have that connection. I'm more proud of that
right.
than anything else, whereas black people specifically, they don't have those roots anymore. Those were ripped from them.
Yeah.
yeah.
So it's a different thing. And then for people that come from immigrant families, they have that connection, but then they're outsided so much because of that.
Yes.
It's me.
Yeah. It's such a... It's such a catch-22, and I don't... Yeah.
No, I feel you. Like, unfortunately, in 2020, my grandfather passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, he was 97.
Oh, that's so, good life I mean, there, yeah.
He lived quite a ways, but what I inherited, which I thought was so valuable, was all of the paperwork, because my grandmother was a history nerd, and I got that from her, but... Before the internet, before Ancestry.com, she hired a historian to do the whole family line That's all so the way cool. down, and I found out I'm more Scottish than anything, down to the clan and where we were and That's everything.
So cool.
It's so badass. But I wish I had that more with my Filipino side.
And it's much harder with yes. the Filipino side because records are not as well kept.
But also just the yeah. lack of wanting to have conversation,
that
I feel.
Too.
Like, it's Definitely. Like almost like pulling teeth.
Definitely.
Especially, I mean, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but this is what I've concluded. Anyone that went through the Marcos issues yeah. in the regime,
yeah.
they just don't want to talk about it. Like, whatever happened or whatever might have happened or if they were caught up, they don't want to talk about that time in their lives no. or who was there, what happened.
Shove it under the rug.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, during the Japanese occupancy, that's another one that a lot of people don't want to talk about. And unfortunately, the generation prior to us are the ones that experienced that. Mm-hmm. So it is a struggle to pull that information sometimes, I feel. Not just from my own mother, but from my aunts. I mean, unfortunately, my grandfather and grandmother on that side, I never got to meet my grandfather. He passed away when my mom was a teenager, but my grandmother was, I think I was 3 when she passed away. So I couldn't really gather that data or information, but I just think it's so interesting how you were mentioning, like, whites are in charge. We have all this data. It's yeah. record kept.
Once again, I can go back to BC yeah. on my family tree.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. But then, like, once again, then you get into other ethnicities. Culture that's been suppressed so heavily to where records are just not as well kept
yeah.
at that point because they've been destroyed.
Yeah.
yeah.
Or suppressed so much, like, people don't want to share about certain things.
Right.
And at this point, that really sucks.
Yeah, and I do appreciate this modern trend, I would say. I wouldn't even call it a trend, but this willingness to have conversation. And I think that's, again, why it's so important to celebrate these history months.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah.
I'm happy about that.
Anything else? No. I didn't mean to steal the show.
No, no. We stole the show in the beginning of the episode. So this makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
And beyond that, this is something that I think the two of you can talk to a lot better than I can. Yeah. And so, for obvious reasons.
I mean, it was great to hear your insight.
Yeah.
No. And again.
But yeah, I'd recommend for anybody looking to get more into anything with this, seriously, talk to people.
Yes.
Find places to enjoy it. And I can say this much, I mean, I'm sure for you as well, the same.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know more about a culture or things like that, go to places where you know there will be people there.
Yes.
Go talk to people there, ask about their experiences, enjoy their food, and get a part of their culture.
Yep.
It's a great experience. I think everybody should do it more often.
Yes.
So, my recommendation.
Yes.
If anyone wants to meet Filipinos, go to streetcar racings. go to any debutante party they might have. And obviously, if you're friends with them, go to whatever potluck they actually start.
Yes.
Because literally, you will meet everybody that is happy and frustrated for being where they are.
Yep. And you will eat more than you know what to do with.
Oh my god, right?
Yeah.
And if you are super introverted, my recommendation is start following Filipino influencers.
It's a good place to start.
Like I mentioned, the Adobros. If you happen to find a Filipino small business at your local farmer's market or craft pop-up, please do follow them. I've met a lot of wonderful Filipino Americans that are now my friends that way. But they love sharing their stories.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times.
I guess that's the night, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in.
Yes.
All right. And I guess, till next time.
Till next time.
Cheers.